You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's personal finance time on a Monday, and with all the changes that are coming up in September, on the 1st of September in particular, regarding the two-pot system, I thought we'd take a look at one aspect of the two-pot system that many people might be going through or might be dealing with, but might not necessarily understand how to navigate. And that is, how do you navigate your two-pot retirement changes in the event that you are going through a separation or that you have gone through a separation or a divorce? I'm joined on the line by Sanlam Corporate's senior legal advisor, Lisa De La Harpa, to take a look at this and try and understand it. Good evening, Lisa. Thanks so much for taking the time. When the two-pot was initially announced, there was initially a lot of skepticism and confusion around how this would deal or how this would interact with the existing Divorce Act and the legislation, and there was conflicts of interest and all of that. And the government came out with a response to say, where these two pieces of legislation don't agree, then one legislation will supersede the other. But that doesn't seem to have addressed the problem. Let's start by looking at what is the problem here.
Okay, that's a good place to start. And hi there, thank you so much for chatting to me. It's lovely to be here with you. So the first thing is that I think we need to absolutely start with, how do you even claim from a pension fund? When I say pension fund, I'm obviously talking about pension fund, provident fund, retirement annuity fund. I'm just using a simplified term. So in Section 37A of the Pension Fund Act is always your starting point. In absolute crux of it is, you're not allowed to touch someone's pension fund money at all unless it's permitted in terms of the Maintenance Act, the Income Tax Act, or the Pension Funds Act itself. So that's the starting point. Okay, so pension fund money is, you can't touch it. It's protected from creditors, all of that. Then, of course, with everything in law, there's an exception. So 37D1D1, without going into too much technicality, gives one of the carve-outs where there's an exception that a registered fund is allowed to deduct amount that's of pension interest that's assigned to a non-member spouse in terms of a divorce order that's granted in terms of specific section of the Divorce Act, or another court in the respect of, for example, a marriage under Islamic law. And that is the whole crux of why we can't look at the Pension Funds Act, how it's being proposed to be amended by the Pension Funds Amendment Act that's already been adopted by Parliament in, I think it was in April. We're just waiting for it to be signed. And it's obviously a key piece of legislation that has to be signed also before the effective date of two parts, because these two go hand in hand, the Revenue Laws Amendment Act and the final, once the Pension Funds Amendment Act is now final. Because this is where it's making amendments to the Pension Funds Act specifically to cater for all these two-part changes. So the thing is, the Pension Funds Amendment Bill is making some changes to, so it's inserted its own definition of pension interest, which is not really where the problem lies as much. But what it's trying to do is, it's actually trying to, in the section, the subsection where the carve-out is for divorce, it's actually trying to throw the net wider than how pension interest is currently defined in the Divorce Act. And that's where the whole issue comes in. So before we can unpack how that a problem is, we actually have to take a step back. Like I just said, with the 37A rule, you know, you can't touch pension fund money unless there's one of the exceptions that applies. It means you can't look at the Pension Funds Act in isolation. You actually have to go to the Divorce Act. Now, what lots of people, I'm sure, would remember is, years ago, you couldn't claim from your spouse's pension fund at all if the money hadn't become due yet to him or her. So back then, when you had to sit and calculate what assets are in the pot, your pension interest wasn't in the pot. It was a right you had in the future for one day when you retire. So the Divorce Act was specifically amended years ago, about 1989 or something, and they inserted two specific sections that is absolutely crucial to this discussion. So first of all, Section 7.7 says, right, I'm going to put it very simple. So it allows a court to look at pension interest as defined in this act, in the Divorce Act, and to deem that pension interest, that specifically defined term, to be an asset in the estate for purposes of calculating the assets at divorce. So this is basically the deeming provision, is the mechanism whereby parties can actually gain access to each other's pension interest. Then Section 7.8 goes on and says, okay, so now the court has deemed this pension interest to be an asset. Right, now the court is enabled in terms of Section 7.8A to grant an order that a portion of this pension interest is then paid to the non-member spouse. And This is where it comes in. So you can see from these two. So first of all, it's a concept of pension interest as defined that's deemed to be an asset. And then the section 7(8) after that, that enables the court to make an order to actually attach a part of it and pay to the non-member spouse. So as the law currently stands, if you go and get divorced tomorrow, what the court is going to do is it's going to look at, okay, pension, so your pension fund, okay, you know what, we need this as a, to be deemed to be one of the assets, because obviously it's something that actually isn't right now. As you said today, I can't just walk over to my pension fund and say, look, please give me R1 million from it, thanks. So 7(7) is going to enable the court to deem it as an asset because it's not an actual asset right now, right? You don't have access to it. And then in terms of 7(8), they're going to make an order assigning a portion of it to my spouse. So this definition right now in the Divorce Act, there's two separate definitions. One relates to pension and provident funds and the other to retirement annuity. So there's a slight difference in how it's calculated, but the actual essence, I don't want to make it too complicated, is pension interest as it's defined in the Divorce Act is whatever the member would have been entitled to in terms of the rules of the fund if his membership to the fund had been terminated on the date of divorce on account of his resignation. So in essence, it's whatever the member would be able to get if he resigned today and cashed out their pension. Now, this is the difference. This is the crux, if I can put it that way, is what two-part is changing. Remember, that is the absolute point of two-part. Is it one step? Force people to preserve when they change employers as well, and not as you can currently in a pension fund. If I resign today, I could take everything in cash. That's exactly what they're trying to change. So now we're sitting with a situation where pension interest in the Divorce Act is still defined that way. But from 1 September, let's say I resign 1 November, I'm not going to be able to take everything. So let's say I'm a new member because that makes it easier. So from 1 September, let's say 1 November, I joined a new fund. I'm only going to have a savings pot and a retirement pot, and my contributions are going to be split. If I get divorced 5 years later and you have to use the pension interest definition as per the Divorce Act, whatever I would be able to get if I resigned from my employer wouldn't be all my money anymore. I wouldn't be able to access my retirement pot. I can only touch that when I retire. So in essence, it's not all of the money sitting in that fund. So what we actually needed here is, this was highlighted by industry bodies at the time. So before, it was the Pension Laws Amendment Bill, if I remember correctly. Then it was with, there were changes. It was open for comment. There were changes. Then it was withdrawn. And the second bill was published that also includes some changes to a few public sector funds. And that's the one that's been adopted. So that one, the industry commented via industry bodies and said, look, there's a contradiction here. We're sitting with, what are the funds going to do? Are they going to follow the Divorce Act definition and calculate it that way? Because the definition itself basically tells a fund how to calculate pension interest. Or are we now going to go with the wider concept that's in the Pension Funds Act? And who's assuming the risk if it's calculated incorrectly? Because it's actually going to, the potato is going to be passed, the hot potato, to the fund at the end of the day. And the fund itself isn't an interested party when it comes to a divorce. Remember, the fund basically just serves an administrative function once it gets a divorce order and it's checked that it meets all the requirements set out between the Pension Funds Act and the Divorce Act. There's four requirements it has to meet. So this is a big concern for funds because you're also going to be sitting with a situation where there might be conflicting interpretations, which means there won't be consistency in how divorce orders are treated, varying from fund to fund. One more thing that they tried to do in the pension funds amendment bill is they actually tried to throw the scope a bit wider so that it also includes that members who've already left the fund, who have retired or have resigned. Now, let's use retirement as a good one. So first of all, we just discussed the definition of pension interest that's set out in the Divorce Act. And as you can see, you still have to hold a pension interest in the fund at the time of divorce for there to be any order made against it in terms of 7(8). Now, if you had already retired, you became entitled to retirement benefit. You can't again to be deemed to have become entitled to something on your date of divorce. And I mean, there's case law on this. The Supreme Court of Appeal in 2020 confirmed it. There's many cases, but this is a nice recent one and a senior and high enough up in the pecking order of court cases that once a member retires from a fund, they don't have a pension interest in the fund anymore to be awarded in terms of the applicable sections of the Divorce Act. So right there, it falls flat. You know, trying to, open the floodgate a little bit in the Pension Fund Act is not going to change anything in that concept in the Divorce Act, which is what the court needs to use and turn to in terms of 7-7, in terms of which the court's empowered to deem it even to be an asset and then make an order to award a portion of it in terms of Section 7-8. So, and then even if, for those listeners that are quite savvy on and, as passionate about the divorce law scope field as I am, you'll remember the Montanari decision, which was specifically about a client who had already retired, purchased living annuities, and his, at that point, soon-to-be ex-spouse wanted to claim from the living annuities as part of their accrual. And it went all the way up to the Supreme Court of Appeal. And the nature of a living annuity is that the minute you purchase the living annuity at retirement, that you, in return for the capital, the annuitant only has a right to the income. He no longer has a right to the underlying capital. That belongs to the insurer, and it's on the insurer's books. So here, by adding something in the – there's a section I'm just trying to recall now in the Pension Funds Amendment Bill where it's basically saying, where we talk about deducting from a member's benefit the pension interest in terms of a divorce order. If it's a retired member, just take it from the capital underlying the annuity. And you can't do that. It's legally not possible to take the capital underlying a living annuity as an example. So this is, it's unfortunate. Let me put it this way. The clean approach would have been to amend Section 1 of the Divorce Act, to amend the definition, to start with where the whole problem is going to lie, is the very essence is the definition, and that's what should have been amended. A few years ago, interestingly enough, for those, let me put it this way, it was quite a number of years ago, so I'm not sure anyone would remember this, but what they tried to do at the time as well is they tried to close this loophole where somebody can retire, and then in essence you lock your pension interest or what you had in your fund into the annuity, and then your ex-spouse, or at the time of divorce, your ex-spouse can't claim from it because it's no longer pension interest. So what they tried to do is, they also back then, in terms of, I think it was the Financial Services General Laws Amendment Act, they try to widen the scope of what you can deduct from in the exception that's set out in the Pension Funds Act in terms of Section 37D, and said also the capital value. I can't remember the exact words, but they tried to do exactly this. And it was confirmed by case law after that, that the fact that you went and tried to widen it in the Pension Funds Act has no bearing on the court has to implement in terms of the Divorce Act when calculating how pension interest is awarded in terms of Section 7-8. So it seems to be a bit of a same kind of a, the intention and the heart was in the right place, but the problem, as normally is in the implementation. And the best way to do this would have been to amend the Divorce Act. But now, the late hour where we are, we're going to have to work with what we have. And like I said a bit earlier, that is actually the risk. The risk is, I would almost say more so for the fund, because at the end of the day, until something like this is going to be tested in court and one unfortunate non-member spouse has to take it to court for implementation, we're not going to know how the courts are going to approach this inconsistency. And that's the unfortunate position that we are in.
So Lisa, knowing what we know about the conflicts that exist and the potential areas of concern here, if someone is going through a separation or has gone through a separation, come 1 September, if they have resigned prior to 1 September, does that mean that their funds are not to be included in the divorce proceedings? Is the law clear on that as it stands, or do we still need more information?
No, it is clear. If you resign before your divorce is finalized, the pension fund money that you have, the nature of that changes. It's no longer pension interest, because pension interest is specifically defined. It is whatever the member would get if he or she terminated membership to the fund by reason of resignation on the date of divorce. So if you already got and became entitled to a benefit before the date of divorce because you resigned, you can't again be deemed to be entitled to a benefit. So unfortunately, look, it doesn't mean that that non-member spouse doesn't have a claim for that money. Let's say you were married in community of property. It's just not a claim that you can enforce against the fund.
Mm.
You're going to have to try and enforce that against your spouse and hope they have it.
If there is divorce proceedings that begin prior to 1 September that are only concluded after the 1 September switch over to the new two-part system, and let's say, for example, one of the spouses there is about to resign, but the resignation date falls after 1 September, is that going to affect anything?
Well, as long as at the date of divorce, they haven't terminated their membership yet, they haven't resigned yet, as in that they still have the hold the pension interest in the fund, then it won't have any difference. No, that's just the key. You still have to have pension interest in the fund as at date of divorce. If you already became entitled to the benefit before, then there isn't anything. Then the pension interest is null. Similarly, if you elected to retire before your divorce is finalized, the minute you exercise that option, it becomes a retirement benefit. It's no longer pension interest. And the non-member spouse loses their right to claim from the fund. Again, he or she can claim for the amount directly from their spouse, but you can't do anything against the fund.
As we wrap up, looking forward to 1 September, what needs to be addressed from a legislative perspective between now and 1 September to smooth out or the process or to clarify anything that may be of a concern? You mentioned earlier that the Section 1 of the Divorce Act should have been the starting point. Is that something that the government can still clarify or provide an amendment to prior to 1 September?
Absolutely not. I mean, I'm absolutely saying that as a personal view, but very confident in the sense that there's not enough time. With just how the legislative process works of how to amend existing laws, there's no way we could get it done in time, unfortunately. Hopefully, it can be something that, you know, because there are a lot of balls up in the air. You know, as we sit here, this pension funds amendment bill isn't even signed yet. And, you know, we've got how many days left until two parts? So it's already not ideal. So hopefully when everything at least gets this bill also gets signed so that we're just ready for 1 September, then there's still the Revenue Law Second Amendment Bill that's proposing certain technical changes to this whole two-part thing as well. That's the next bill that's going to be in Treasury's court. So I don't think we're going to see anything happening with the Divorce Act anytime soon.
Lisa, do you think the entire implementation of the two-part system was a bit rushed?
I think not necessarily rushed because it has been coming for quite some time. I think it's normally one of those things that it really is quite complicated. There's so many touch points. You know, really, that's the thing with law, and that's why we have so many lawyers in the world, right? Is you can't just put, it's almost like you can't just change one small little thing here without necessarily seeing the bigger picture of where are the other touch points and other types of legislations that you have to look at as well. And something like divorce law specifically, in this, to bring it back to what we are discussing today, the divorce area when it comes to pension fund law is a very, very strictly regulated industry. And it's very, very technical. You really have to know your pension law inside out and the exceptions of when a fund is allowed to pay out, what the requirements are of that. So, you know, that is a very specific skill set, I almost want to say. So I think it's not necessarily the problem here was because it was rushed. I think it's because of the technicality of it. And now, unfortunately, there isn't enough time to do it nice and neat and tidy.
And just like that, there isn't enough time to continue this conversation, though we might have to revisit it in the future because certainly there are still some points that are up in the air that we need clarity on. But for now, thank you so much for those insights, Lisa. That's Lisa De La Harpa, who is a senior legal advisor at Sanlam Corporate, on the impact that a divorce may have on your retirement if we're looking at the two-part system.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.